So Christine reached out to me, and in her email, it said something about World War III. I had no idea what she was talking about. A few hours later, we were doing our nightly rosary that we do, and one of the people in there said, we need to pray for everything that's happening. I had no idea what they were talking about. Just a few moments later, there was the bombing that's happening between Israel and Iran and Iran. And here we are. Christine, talk to us about what's going on, these apparitions, this consecration. What can we do in light of what might be upon us?
So Mary has actually warned about the potential of World War III in two church-approved apparitions that are not well known by the world outside of where they occurred. And I was getting in prayer to have people, along with Grace Force, which is Father Richard Heilman and Doug Berry, we felt called to have people do a consecration called Mary's Mantle Consecration. And this also has a journal that goes with it. So I won't go into that too much, but just to say that you can find all the information about the consecration. We're praying for peace. We're offering it for the Pope, and we're offering it for ourselves and our families. And I can also go in, if you would like, Alvaro, to crazy miracles that have happened to those who've done this particular consecration. Many of them do it over and over again. If you've done another Marian consecration, this one's entirely different. And people, even in many parishes, they've done this consecration. They do it again and again each year. Yeah. So it doesn't get old. It's a daily rosary, 2-minute meditation on a virtue or a gift of the Holy Spirit. You can get a poster and you can add stars each day to Mary's Mantle. That's what's so fun for the kids. Yeah. Every day that you do a virtue, my finger's not going the right way, you add a star to her mantle. Yeah. So it's 46 days. We're going to start on July 1st. And you end on a feast day. We're going to end on August 15th, the Feast of the Assumption. And you go to confession before you consecrate yourself or reconsecrate yourself to Mary. You have a day of fasting or two. So you have all these things, the prayer, the daily rosary, the fasting, the reading the virtue to try to get to heaven, the going to confession, then the consecrating yourself. And then with all of that, plus everyone's intention going for world peace, the Pope and your families, you're going to see miracles. We've had healings from terminal cancer. We've had kids coming back to the church. We've had alcoholic husbands coming in and apologizing to their families, things we need. But what's on my heart and Alvaro's heart right now is that it was this World War III potential. And what Mary was saying requires a response. And she's asking us to do the things that happen to be in Mary's Mantle Consecration. In fact, in one of her church approved apparitions, which happened in Coapa, Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. And that one happened in 1980 to a man named Bernardo Martinez. He's now a priest. She actually said words about, let me cover you in my mantle. Mm-hmm. And she wants the rosary each day. And she said these incredible words. I'm going to paraphrase them, but she said, do not ask for peace. You must enact peace, which was very interesting. She's like, don't just pray, say, God, give peace. God, give peace. You have to become the virtue that is peace. And that's why Mary's Mantle also fits this, because you are changing. People are not the same day, the same person when they start this consecration as they are 46 days later after they've really evaluated themselves. Because if you also do the journal, it's in Spanish too, this one's Spanish, El Manto de María, you're reflecting on a virtue, a gift of the Holy Spirit, and you're trying to incorporate that into your soul. You're writing the virtues on your soul. So this is what she's begging for. If we don't do this, if we don't become the virtues in life, if we don't become peace, if we don't turn to God, She's saying there will be a third world war. And I can go into that as you wish, Alvaro, and say exactly what happened in that apparition and also one that happened in the Congo, in the Dominican Republic of Congo in Africa in 1988. And these are church approved. They're alarming. And we need to take heed. When we haven't taken heed, things have happened. She appeared in Kibeho in Rwanda. War broke out. She appeared in Medjugorje. War broke out. She appeared in Fatima. War broke out. She comes for a reason.
You know, I think for people, it's always, it's if you've done it already, it's a renewal. But it's also that you're giving that specific time, you know, because in some sense, we need to give each and every moment to our Lord and to the Blessed Mother. That's part of what we're doing. We're also deepening our consecration. The Blessed Mother is so profound, we could never get to know her enough. Like, that's kind of one of my sayings, like, De Maria nunquam satis. You could never finish loving, getting to know, giving yourself to God, to the Blessed Mother. There's so much more profound than we are. And these sort of new times, one thing that's, I think, really profound, you know, July, you could think of it as like a month of the United States because of the 4th of July. Oh. So I think it's very appropriate mm-hmm. that we're doing it in that month. Mm-hmm. 11 days into it, there's going to be this exorcism conference. You may have heard of it, where there's going to be this worldwide exorcism by this cardinal who has universal jurisdiction. So 10 days into this consecration, this other massive spiritual thing is going to be happening that I think is going to connect perfectly with what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, we're trying to make this worldwide. We're also reaching out to Mexico. Yeah. We're reaching out to the world because this, Mary says, it's a potential World War III.
Where can they get this book?
So there's two books. There's the consecration book and the prayer journal, and people can go to www.marysmantleconsecration.com, MarysMantle, consecration.com. If you can't remember that, queenofpeacemedia.com, and you'll see it right there on the homepage, queenofpeacemedia.com. You'll be able to see everything. It's very simple. You get the books. If you can't afford the books, go to the meditations and read them online.
Yeah.
But all the instructions are in the first part of the consecration book. Once you get that, you open it up, it'll be very clear as to what to do.
Tell us about this other apparition in the Congo and what were some of the messages there?
Oh my gosh. So in the Congo, there is a man. He was a boy when the apparitions first started. His name is Raphael Minga Puete, and this happened in the capital called Kinshasa. And he says, Jesus was on the cross bleeding. I felt like I was at the bottom of the earth. He raised me to the surface and promised to make a mystic of me. So he went blind during this first encounter with Jesus. And then he says, immediately my sight was restored. So we have some similarities, right, with St. Paul and other people, biblical people having their hearing or their speech, rather, or their sight restored. And so Raphael asked who he was. And the voice said, I am the God of powers, of power. And so he started to lock himself in his room, and he was a different person after that. This is all bishop approved. The bishop investigated everything, and this has received the church's approval. She called herself Mary. This is very interesting. Mary, Mother of Disarmament. And she said, the days of great tribulation are near. So remarkably, just a few years later, in 1993, the Congo found itself in a civil conflict that killed thousands. There were 40 mass graves. People knew about Rwanda. They didn't necessarily know this was happening next door in the Congo. And then followed by that was in 1997. In Africa, this was called the first African World War broke out. And there was genocide in Congo. So the thing that is something we need to pay attention to is something else that Our Lady said. And so she said that this is not isolated to Africa. This is actually something that could lead into the Third World War if we do not change. And she said, She said, the sightings have had, she didn't say this, but it says, the sightings have had a significant impact. We have come to learn on the people of Kinshasa. So many people have turned to prayer there. There have been miraculous healings, other supernatural incidences. It's a sign of hope for their country. But is it serious? Yes. On May 22nd, 2014, the seer, he continues to have visions. He continues to have manifestations of Our Lady. Raphael said, the power of the Lord's voice resounded in my right ear without the slightest hesitation. And this voice connected to my heart and my intelligence. And what was poured into his will for the salvation of our world, he said, I got the message that our world is in danger of the explosion of the Third World War. Because of our refusal to solemnly proclaim His glorious Mother and our helpful and merciful Mother who came to visit our world under the unique title, the Mother of Disarmament. So what this says to me is that every Marian apparition is so important. The same thing was said in Rwanda, that Our Lady wasn't saying, I'm not just coming to warn you about Rwanda. Rwanda is a microcosm of what could happen in the world. And before I go into the other proved apparition in which Our Lady talks about the threat of World War II, I do want to say that another reason this consecration is so important, it covers us with Our Lady's mantle. And that is no joke. That is a protection, definitely spiritual, and sometimes it's very, very physical. So for instance, in near the hypocenter of where the U.S. dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima in Japan, which sadly was the most Catholic place in Japan, it immediately obliterated 80,000 people. Immediately they were gone. Buildings were gone. 8 Jesuit priests were dedicated to praying the rosary every day. Nothing happened to them. Nothing. They were told by doctors that they would have radiation poisoning. They would likely have lesions. They would die young, you know, die soon, like everybody else around them who survived at all. I mean, the people who survived were nowhere near them. They were the only survivors. Everything was gone. It was dust. And this particular Jesuit father, he was interviewed over 200 times about what exactly happened to him during the nuclear blast. But he said he remembers it very well. He was putting a spoon, sitting down at breakfast in the rectory kitchen, about to eat a grapefruit, when there was a blast of light in the window and his body was picked up and spun around and shaken incredibly like a leaf in a windstorm. And then he was thrust down on the ground, and he didn't have any injuries except for a little bit of cut glass in the back of his neck. That was it. They were all fine. So that's was Our Lady. And they all said the reason why we were protected is because we prayed the rosary every day. So when Our Lady says, you know, when you do Mary's mantle, and she says, I'm going to cover you. I'm going to cover you with my mantle. You pray these stars and you cover yourself in virtues. There's something supernatural going on there. And so, you know, war is evil. Atomic war is particularly evil. Our Lady cares. She cares about us, not just emotionally and spiritually, but she cares about our physical health too. So, yeah, it's quite serious, but also quite wonderful in the sense that Aren't we so graced and fortunate to be Catholic, to have hope, and to have such hope that, well, You know, honestly, Alvaro, if I go, I go. I mean, almost you almost want to be in the hypocenter and just if you've done what you need to do, if you followed Our Lady's messages, death is nothing to fear. It's just the passage that we all take sooner or later. So I'm just excited, actually. I mean, it's horrifying, but at the same time, it's so consoling and beautiful. We just have to do our part. And I'll read about what she says about doing our part. The Jesuits did their part. You know, would that have happened if they hadn't been praying the rosary every day? It's a good question, right?
Yeah. And I think for us, it's part of it is our own growth and holiness. Part of us is us asking for peace for the world, but then for all the people that aren't ready, you know, because we're lucky that we get to be those intercessors. So we have that sense of peace, but we also want, I mean, first of all, for it not to happen, for no war to happen.
Absolutely.
But if something happens that those other people that aren't ready and won't be, because we know that that's going to be the case, that maybe we're going to be the ones offering that prayer, that maybe we'll have saved them maybe in that last moment. If something happens, at least they have some sort of grace of repentance, you know, that we save whoever we can.
Yeah. And some people might say, hey, you know, in this show, you've got it all wrong. You pray and it's not going to happen. And I do understand, and I do want to honor that hope. But when I look at what she said in Fatima, where she said, if we don't do the five first Saturdays, if we don't turn back to God, if Resh isn't consecrated to her, if we don't turn to God, various nations will be annihilated. That hasn't happened yet. And various nations will be just completely gone. So the question is, the audience can ask this question, and you and I, Alvaro, can ask this question: has the world turned to God? Are we moving in holiness? Are we living the commandments as a humanity? Are we moving in that direction? So I just pose that question because it all rests on that. And she says it all rests on that. So the apparitions in when she appeared in Coapa, Nicaragua.
So when she appeared in Coapa, what were some of the more? What was
so
more-
in Coapa, Nicaragua, when she appeared to Bernardo Martinez, he has a similar story to Juan Diego and the apparitions of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico in 1531. There's so many parallels. He was a poor man. He was middle-aged like Juan Diego. He ran away like Juan Diego did. He didn't want to do what she was asking. She was asking him to tell people that he saw her and that she wanted the rosary prayed every day, especially in the family. And he thought, they're going to think I'm crazy. I don't want to be persecuted. So he didn't do so. She followed him and kept speaking to him. And it's an amazing story. So he sees this light. He realizes that this woman who's appearing above a cloud, above a rock, is speaking to him. And he said he could only think in terms of communicating with her because his jaw froze and he was in shock. And he said, she told me with the same sweetness, he said, she's alive. She spoke. She's answered my question. I could see that we could enter into a conversation, that I could speak with her. She answered me with the sweetest voice I have ever heard in any woman, not even in persons who speak softly. I said to her, what is your name? And she said, I come from heaven. I am the mother of Jesus. On hearing this, I immediately asked her, what is it you want? She answered me, I want the rosary to be prayed every day. I then interrupted and said to her, yes, we are praying it. She told me, I don't want it prayed only in the month of May. I want it to be prayed permanently within the family, including the children old enough to understand, to be prayed at a set hour when there are no problems with the work in the home. She told me that the Lord does not like prayers we make in a rush or mechanically. Because of that, she recommended praying the rosary accompanied with reading of biblical citations. And he, at the time, he didn't know that the rosary was primarily based in the Bible. And he asked her, well, how do I do that? She told him to look it up in the Bible himself. And so that's obviously asking us to meditate on scripture as well, which is included in the Mary's Mental Prayer Journal. You're looking up scripture, you're meditating on it, and a quote from a saint. So she said, renew the five first Saturdays. You received, past tense, many graces when all of you did this, meaning we're not doing it anymore. I mean, we have to do the five first Saturdays confession, and you want to do it soon before the first Saturday if you can. Otherwise, there's leeway in that if you absolutely are in a situation where you can't do confession right before the first Saturday, then you do it 20 days before or 20 days after. That still counts. And then you meditate, you pray a rosary, and you meditate for 15 minutes on a mystery or the mysteries of the rosary. Once again, the five first Saturdays, if you go to Mass on the first Saturdays, is completely covered in Mary's Mantle. You're doing all that already. So what a grace to just do the consecration. You're just fulfilling everything she's longing for. And this really got me. She said, love each other, fulfill your obligations, make peace. Don't ask our Lord for peace, because if you do not make it, there will be no peace. And then she told him about the five first Saturdays, and she said, pray, my son, the rosary for all the world. Tell believers and non-believers that the world is threatened by grave dangers. I ask the Lord to appease his justice, but if you don't change, you will hasten the arrival of a third world war.
And this was again in 1980?
This was 1980.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we know that, I mean, if we look at like the apparitions of Fatima, whenever we read the history, we think everyone just listened immediately or something, but some people didn't even know that they happened till 20 or 30 years later. You know, just because of
right.
A lot of times heaven gives these apparitions kind of 30, 40 years in advance, knowing how slow we are, you know, which is really embarrassing if you really think about it.
Yeah.
That it's a real call, because I'm sure families aren't, maybe individuals are praying the rosary, but probably not many families were children old enough to understand. And then not mechanically, like almost all these things as if, look, I know how you're doing it. It has to be done better.
Yeah. Two things to say about that. I mean, one is that this is a very concrete request, and it's not always easy to do. You might have a husband or no husband or a spouse that doesn't believe, and their kids. It's not easy. It's incredible spiritual warfare if you haven't inculcated prayer in the family already. So you become the warrior to say, okay, we'll start with a decade, or we'll start with those who are willing, or you take what you can get, or you sit there with music playing the rosary that everyone has to listen to, even if they don't want to. God has us use our own creativity, our own ingenuity, our own understanding of the personalities in our family, what works, what doesn't. There is no one set way to go about this with all families, but try. Do it yourself in front of everybody if that's the best you can do. Do it as people are yelling at you in your ear that you're crazy, but do it. This will be rewarded, and she will reward you. And if you think this is going to sound harsh, and I don't want to say it the way it's about to come out, but if we think that that's hard, which it is, it's very hard, then what's harder? My friend who's from Rwanda, he's a priest. He didn't believe. He was in Africa, in Rwanda, when the Kibeho apparitions were happening. And he's a very faithful, beautiful priest. And I can't say enough good things about him. At the time, he didn't believe. He didn't believe that she was saying that there would be rivers of blood in his hometown and that his neighbors would be killing him. You know, it just sounded ridiculous because when she said this, there was peace. There was no sign in their country of such a thing. And his whole family was massacred. She is given a gift from God, being the mother of God, to see things in the future that we are oblivious to at the time. Hence, you're saying it takes us so long to get to realize how important this is. And I remember being at a parish. There was like a family day, which was there should be more family days at parishes. And I had a little booth where I was talking about praying with the family. No one was doing it. They looked at me like, you don't know. I said, how do you pray with the family? And they're like, well, that's kind of the church's responsibility. We don't do that.
You know, it's a difficult thing, and sometimes we need help. So one of the things I really think it's, if my channel has done anything, about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, or like 4.5 years ago, actually, we did start doing a daily rosary. We still do it. It's like at 9 p.m. Central. Now we have over like 300 people join. What I love about that is, it forces me, like, because I have to show up to make it happen. Mm-hmm. If I didn't have that, I'd probably make excuses. So that kind of like, it's like I forced myself to be obligated to like be married to this thing.
Yeah.
And so now I have to do it. And there's definitely nights when my wife and I, when we don't want to, because we want to like go on a date, sometimes we do kind of hand it off to someone else who leads it. But sometimes we're like, oh gosh, like, But I'll always see, I see so many good things, so much protection that the channel grows. I'm always provided for in my work. And I know that it's because I'm praying the rosary there's much holier people that are praying it, that I'm kind of in the wake of their holiness, I'm receiving from that. Mm. So for those that are listening, if you can't start it on your own, join this rosary or find a group. Find someone else that's doing it to make it easier for you to do this family rosary. So then you join another family, you know, like the Jews, if they didn't have a lamb, you would join a neighboring family that had a lamb, because maybe you're too poor, you know, to use that term. And then little by little, maybe a child or your wife or someone else will join in. That's a way that you can start.
Amen. And, you know, Padre Pio called the rosary his weapon, and more miracles have been attributed to the rosary than to any other prayer outside of the Mass. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It's absolutely formidable. And, you know, people have, and don't be shy, because Mariana of Medjugorje said, if you pray for non-believers, if you pray for people who just don't believe in God, she said, really, these are the people that are hastening war, because they don't understand that this is a sin. They don't understand that it's better to die than go out there and shoot to be Christian is very difficult. And she said, you're praying for your own safety when you're praying for you, when you pray for the unbelievers. You're really doing something for yourself, and not to think selfishly. But with Mary's Mantle, there was a man who liked the meditation so much, and people do, they do them over and over and over again. They really are healing, and they take you deep into your own soul and into life itself. And maybe I should probably close with the Mary's Mantle meditation on awe, because we need to, with this heavy subject, it would be so nice to close on something really, really uplifting, if that's okay.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah. But if you're doing something like this, there is so very much hope. And so he sent out the, he called him, I'm sending you the virtue of the day. He didn't call it Mary's Mantle. And then an evangelical woman said, well, these are better than my devotional. And a Jewish woman said, I didn't get the virtue of the day. Send it. She went back to the Catholic Church. She had converted to Judaism. She went back to Catholicism. All these atheists were interested. There's an evangelical, an evangelization charism somehow in the words of Mary's Mantle Consecration. So if you get the books, marysmantleconsecration.com, queenofpeacemedia.com, don't be shy. Now we need to spread the faith more than ever, right? More than ever, we need people who normally don't think about prayer to pray. We need people to not be scared in a bad way, but a good way to say, oh, maybe I should, maybe there's a God, maybe I need some help. So before I do that meditation on awe, I do want to say, so one woman who did Mary's Mantle, this began in the poor barrios of Mexico, and they would create an actual mantle. They would sew a star of each virtue or gift of the spirit on a physical mantle, wrap it around families, go to 46 families each day, and adding a star to Our Lady's Mantle. And the Monsignor at the parish they were doing it in, and you can do it individuals, families, groups, parishes, blessed the mantle. She has lymphoma, she had a bald head, she had a fever. She said it was as high as 108, hard to believe, but maybe she was. She was clearly in terrible shape in the Stanford Hospital. And she said, oh my gosh, my friends at the parish, they are doing Mary's Mantle, they're praying for me. And I didn't bring the mantle they told me to bring to the hospital to wear over me. And they couldn't get her fever down. They were putting her in ice packs. She was in terrible shape. Her husband grabbed the mantle, put it over her body from neck to toe. She said she felt like a baby with her mother's love gently saying, everything's going to be okay. And she felt this wave of comfort and peace come over her whole body. The fever left. She went to sleep. She woke up. She looked the doctor in the eye and she said, I'm completely healed. Wow. And he said, well, we'll see. It turns out all the cancer was gone.
That's incredible. So
I want to say what she says about Our Lady's Mantle, because this is from Our Lady herself when she appeared to Bernardo in Coapa, Nicaragua, Bernardo Martinez. She said, in an apparition on March 8, 1887, she spoke of the coming destruction of atheistic communism in Russia and the whole world. Not the destruction in Russia, but the atheistic destruction that Russia would do in bringing communism to the whole world. She also said, I want you to propagate the devotion to the shoulder wounds of my son. That's interesting. And if you change and convert soon, very soon, you will see an end to your sorrows. That didn't happen in Nicaragua. I think we know that they're under incredible persecution. The church is being kicked out. It's terrible there now. Then she added, repeat with me this prayer. And she said it slowly. Saint Mary of Victory, favorite daughter of God the Father, give me your faith. Mother of God the Son, give me your hope. Sacred spouse of God, the Holy Spirit, give me your charity and cover us with your mantle. So there it is. We ask her, cover us with your mantle. So.
Well, Christine, I think it's something, it's interesting to think that, to realize that both of these apparitions coming from countries where there's severe distress, persecution, it's not coming from happy places, you know, so it's coming out from the midst of intense, you know, evil and destruction.
That wasn't there when she appeared, not to the same degree at all. She just saw. Yeah.
And for the sake of that not happening in the rest of the world. So I think it's crucial for us to take this on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't want to learn the hard way of looking back and then we're there. And then it's, well, now you can't really do anything. You just pray to survive, which is not something that we want to do. We want to.
I mean, I was watching watching YouTube, watching the bombs go right onto Tehran, just watching it happen in real time. saying, oh my gosh. And each side is saying, we're not going to stop.
Yeah. So I think we can look at that and then just ask ourselves the question, are we going to look at that and give into powerlessness and say, well, there's nothing I can do, and make it easy for yourself in the moment? Or are we going to take that authority that Jesus has given us and say, I'm going to do something. I'm going to take on this spiritual challenge. We're out of Easter, so now we can kind of take on this additional Lent, but know that it'll be for the benefit of the world.
Amen. Yes, it's a worldwide consecration we're asking for. And so the 46th star, I hate to kind of give it away, but should I do that? I'll read part. I won't read the whole thing. I'll just read a little bit of the last meditation. Each soul in heaven mirrors God's immeasurable love. And so when you and an inhabitant of heaven look upon each other, you are ravished by the Holy Spirit and lifted up in ecstasy even more. Just when you believe you have attained all the joy your soul could desire, the Father fills you with more. You become a dazzling light burning ever more brightly. You come to understand that this will never end. It will only grow as the Father has an endless supply of love that he delights in sharing. As you take hands with your companion saints and gaze upon the splendor of the Almighty, your spirit explodes like a firework of ecstasy. As the light from your spirit is caressed by those around you, every soul and spirit unite to become one with God. And then you feel what you never thought possible. United with the beatific vision, one with the glorious Trinity, you feel all the love in eternity entering into you. You feel and see all the good things that have transpired since time began. You become part of it all and one with every loving thought or action shared across mankind and among angels. You melt into every breath of love there ever was, is, or will be. And then you understand what heaven truly is.
That's powerful. That's beautiful. Well, Christine,
that's what awaits us.
I think we need to do it. You know, we're now at 17 days away. So for people, we'll have the link here. Check that out. Look that up. Get the book and begin. It'll start in a few days. I think it's something that's really going to be an impact of grace in our church. Hopefully for Pope Leo, for his papacy as he begins.
Amen.
He's also, peace is a theme that he's bringing up. And I think there's a reason for that.
And he needs our help. This is not, he needs us.
It's not something that he can or wants to do alone, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, how about we close with a prayer? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed Mother, please place in our hearts the desire to do God's will. Help us to want to do this with the same desire that you have, to make it possible, to remove all obstacles, so that the grace that will come from this consecration, that it may impact our lives and our families and the whole world around us. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. In
the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.